Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Henry making magic. Oh my God. Now, Dom Giordano's show, we just debuted.
I like this robot. It's a good robot.
We just debuted this song, and we have a guest on big time writing in the New York Times. Laws need to catch up to artificial intelligence's unique risk. That's artificial, that's AI, that created that song through a listener. Joining us is Garrison Lovely, who wrote this piece in the New York Times. Let's go to Garrison, who I believe is in Greece, and this is by Google Phone. Oh, man, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
Hey, Garrison, how is Greece?
It's fantastic. I'm hoping that this call won't drop, but really happy to be calling in.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. And it was very timely when we saw your piece on this, what Newsom did recently. Your piece appeared September 29th. The longshoremen have, in my mind, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you're following this since you're in Greece, this automation thing and the fear of it, it's a serious, serious thing. They were ridiculous in saying we shouldn't have easy pass. So I wanted to ask you overall, since you draw the line here, certainly with artificial intelligence, is there a place for artificial intelligence that you think is within boundaries, both of we don't have to worry of some kind of catastrophe and or it's not going to disrupt livelihoods of people?
And we already
left.
Here we go.
All right.
We have him back. We have him back there. Let's
see if
we can get that.
Yeah. Garrison.
You're asking the question.
Yeah. The question was, again, you're drawing a good line here, certainly, with the dangers of this. With artificial intelligence or more automation, I'm putting the two things together. What's the line, in your view, where there's social benefit without potential catastrophe? And, you know, what's happening to these longshoremen, I think, is a serious thing, but it's also a sign of progress. Where do you come down?
Yeah, it's a really difficult question. I think it's, for me, more about the process, right? So OpenAI, for example, is trying to build artificial general intelligence, which in their...
Wow, this is crazy. He's on Google Phone. They keep dropping and trying to talk about AI.
Yeah, that's right. It's a conspiracy here.
So calling in from Greece, he said that he had some dropping issues and it might be something that happens.
Okay.
Do you want to try one more time?
Try one more time.
Okay.
Yeah, or we may have to reschedule with him.
Let's try
one more time. There he is.
Yeah. And where I kind of draw the line, we have Garrison back now, myself, is I look at it and I'm like, if a thing's thinking, right, if it's offering that artificial intelligence, a car is thinking, it has to decide whether or not it's going to run over somebody. That's where I kind of draw my line societally, but the kind of checkout line and such, I'm okay with. Garrison?
Yeah, I just switched to a hotspot. We'll see if this works, but if it drops, we have to do this another time. I think it's more about, like, in my view, having people be involved in the process of deciding where to draw that line, right? Right now, you have a bunch of tech startups that are not really accountable to anybody, truly, deciding to build something that has massive implications for everybody on the planet, potentially. And I really just want there to be more democratic input into what types of AI systems get built, what are the safeguards that have to be in place to build those systems and deploy them. And then when it comes to automation, like, I feel for everybody who is worried about their job. And I think back to this profile of Sam Altman in 2015, where he's kind of like, if I were not in this position building AI, I'd be like, why do they get to decide? Like, who? You know, what gives them the right to do this? And in 2024, I'm kind of speaking the same question.
Here's an example, Garrison, too. Our Philadelphia Inquirer reporting today, AI is starting to disrupt white-collar jobs. You know, when that happens, when people are undercut in the labor market, and it's not, you know, it's blue-collar job. It's something with a lot of people. There's not a lot of sympathy, but now you disrupt white-collar jobs. You disrupt things that are artistic, for example. You would think people are going to be engaged in this. They seem to be unaware it's coming.
Yeah. I think of this tweet that I saw, which is, you know, I used to think the robots would do my dishes so I could make art. But now the robots are making art and I still have to do my dishes.
Exactly right. So do you see this then, the issue of somehow or another having input on this? How do you see that happening, though? Would it be governmental?
Yeah, I think I'm in favor broadly of regulating the industry, just like basically any other industry that could have effects that spill over beyond its borders. I think the main issue with that is that the industry does not want to be regulated, right? California nearly had this law that would have these pretty light touch regulations in place on the largest AI developers. And after very intense lobbying, the governor, Gavin Newsom, vetoed the bill. And I think that's a place to start. I think something that's been interesting, too, has been just the amount of labor power on display by the workers at these AI companies. When Sam Altman was reinstated, it was in no small part because there was like mutiny among the workers. And with this California bill, over 110 current and former employees of these companies signed a letter in favor of the bill. And then finally, I wrote in favor of whistleblower protections. I think having people be able to come forward and go to Congress or go to a special investigator if they see evidence of risky behavior that may not be presently illegal. But because AI is so new, it can still be dangerous without being illegal. Giving people those protections would let us know if something's going wrong.
My antenna go up when you have a guy, and it's not exactly artificial intelligence, but the concept is the same, like Bill Gates. He comes on a show and he's talking about getting scientists with him that will try to do a process to dampen the sun around climate control. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there can't be any dampening of the sun here. We can't be fooling around like this. So I would think in the AI field, it's even easier to be engaged in things that might deal with nuclear power plants, with infrastructure, with the grid, right?
Yeah. I mean, the ambition within artificial intelligence for as long as the field has existed has been to build machines that can think like humans can. And there's good reason to believe that if you actually manage to do that, they would be able to think a lot faster and be up a lot more than humans can. So within OpenAI, there's a lot of people talking about the project is like building God, right? So this is an extremely ambitious and, you know, many people might say foolhardy endeavor. And it's, you know, very tantalizing, but it's also something where, you know, it could have effects on everybody alive, which many of these same people have acknowledged.
We're talking with Garrison Lovely. And Garrison, to that point, we even talked, the Phillies here, Philadelphia Phillies are playing the Mets tomorrow, big game in town. They're fooling around with even umpires being replaced by computers. The umpire would still stand there, but the computer is making decisions. And this reliance, the point you made about the dishes and the art, you're taking away, even in small dosages, humanity here somewhat and wanting to make us more mechanical.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a vision of how this could happen that I think is under discussed is not necessarily that there'll be like one big moment where you know, AI takes over the world. I think that's possible, right? But I think what you could also see is just very small moments where we cede autonomy and we cede responsibility to AI systems because it's cheaper, it's more effective in some way, or it's believed to be more effective. And then bit by bit, you know, in a competitive market, people do this and it's rational each time maybe. But then suddenly we find ourselves not in control of our own future.
Yeah, absolutely. Garrison, where do we find you on Twitter or someplace else? Where do we go to find you?
Yeah, I'm at Garrison Lovely on Twitter. That's just my full name is my handle. And then I have a Substack which is just garrisonlovely.substack.com.
Is your area of expertise mainly artificial intelligence, or is it issues around, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm writing a book on artificial intelligence with the working title, Obsolete, Power, Profit, and the Race for Machine Superintelligence.
Could you work into that one of my favorite Twilight Zones where they tell the guy you're obsolete? I don't know if you've seen that one. If you Google it, you'll see what I mean.
No,
that's
I need to watch that.
Yeah, Dan, you could pull that up. It's a fascist type of system and obsolete. When they say that to you, they all start chanting.
Disgrace the state. You have proven yourself a coward. You have therefore no function. You are obsolete.
But I'm not. I'm not obsolete.
You are obsolete.
Obsolete.
Make sure you work that into the book. I mean, Dan, I don't know how you found it that quickly. It's a great Twilight Zone. Hey, Garrison, hope to talk with you more. Enjoy Greece. And great stuff
here.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. This has been fun. Thanks.
All right, Garrison Lovely here. Dan, that is, a lot of Twilight Zones are the same thing, but that is a really good one.
Yeah. What's your all-time fave?
Let me think. I forget the title of it. It's where everybody is pig-faced, and they're going after the people that are beautiful.
And then the turn.
The pivot point.
It's great.
You go 20 minutes till you get to the pivot point. That's a very good one.
How about the eyeglasses one?
Where the guy now can read, and the eyeglasses is broken. Yes. Very good one.
Did you watch the reboot with Jordan Peele when he rebooted it for...
I did not.
No. It's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
DJ texted me, and he knows me as well as you, my antagonism toward Bill Gates. Bill Gates now is not among the top 10 billionaires. It's just out today in the world. I don't know where he ranks.
There's no way that's true.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Let me.
Does this count the Gates Foundation?
I don't know how much he's given away here, the particulars. He texted it to me.
Yeah.
If I can find it here.
I thought he was like among the top three.
Bill Gates, no longer among the 10th wealthiest. This is from Fox Business in the world. Forbes has pegged his net worth at $107 billion, putting him at number 12. I don't know if Elon Musk is number one or not.
No, I don't think he's anywhere close to the top 10.
I thought he was.
Really?
But yeah, if you're out at $107 billion, I'll have to get the full list.
Yeah,
but he is reputedly wanting to fool around with dampening the effect of the sun to deal with climate.
Huh.
I mean, stop this guy.
They already did that in The Simpsons. Like it's
exactly. All right. Side question today. Somebody that deserves their reputation or something is what we're looking for. Dr. Don in Springhouse. Dr. Don, who's yours?
Hi, mine is Fauci, Dr. Fauci. He's a grandstander and a fraud. As you know, I told you I worked with him in the 80s.
And, that's right.
He was okay then, but he had the gross lie in 2000 about not needing masks, which turned out to be a massive lie in the start of his nonsense. So he's my vote for today.
That is a good one. You got the judges. Springsteen's already. Dan took that one off the board. So
I was wrong as hell.
Yeah.
With Elon. Elon's number one.
Should I save this? It's like a delicious treat. No, I must eat it now. Let's go to Joe of Exton.
Oh, man, yes.
I think it's a good one. Let's go to Joe of Exton. Hey, Joe, good afternoon.
Yes. Hello, Dom, and good afternoon. Regarding reputation in Italy, the people of Italy enjoy a reputation of being a highly artistic peoples. They've produced paintings, statuary, and buildings of great historical significance.
That is an excellent one. And Joe, are you graduate of the University of Florence?
No, I didn't graduate. No, I just attended for a while.
Ah, see, I remember that.
Yeah. You guys have that in common, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You've lost a good dropout over there.
Joe, that is a brilliant one. Italians certainly deserve that, our reputation. All right, Richie,
hold on.
Wait,
you know when you saw Italians on the board, you did not think he was going to do the artistic nature
of
Native
Italians. Oh, yeah, I thought he was. Sure, Joe Vexin, he's not going to say mob and all that stuff. No.
I thought he was going with it when I saw it on there.
No. Also, the reputation.
I wasn't going to go with mob. I was just going to go with like open shirt, gold chain.
Well, for those watching on YouTube, we don't deserve that reputation for talking with our hands a lot,
All you ever do is talk with your hands.
You know, I just made a note to myself. Would it be funny in here? You know how my jeans wear out every 6 months? It's because in the back and forth of this, it's rubbing around the knees. It's a constant.
Yeah.
I don't know what Rich would say, his thing you can't help when you do this job.
Just be
some
a
kind
guy.
Of thing that you do. Huh?
Just be a shorts guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the
rub through
his
skin there.
His skin there. Oh,
down
my
to
God,
the bones.
Yes. So I was thinking putting a towel on either side of it. If you happen to see that in the future, I got to preserve these jeans. They wear out too quickly.
Can I get you like some rib jeans?
No. All right.
Just like a teenager in 2003.
We found another picture at home, though. Ro has another one. Not my David Cassidy. It's Ro and I on the swing set when we were first dating or getting married.
And why is it not on Twitter yet?
Yeah, well, I have to bring it in. Yeah. I have to get permission from her, yes, to bring it
we
in.
You can cut her out.
That's true, too. It doesn't matter. 855
I am 100. I love you, Ro. You're amazing.
855-839-1210. Right now, though, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Has all the money gone?
All right, today we're playing for a pair of tickets to A Night on the Bayou, celebrating Creedence Clearwater Revival on October 11th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center on the campus of Bucks County Community College. It's a great spot. We do a lot of events there. Great bar and the people even better. Dan, what do you have?
Yeah, Dom, so today in today history, there was an SNL where John Belushi mocked, for a while he was mocking a guy, and then finally today in history, they joined together and performed on stage. Not going to play the very popular song that they performed together, I'm going to play a cover by this person who was being mocked by John Belushi joining him on SNL on stage, Dom, on this day in history. So Dom, we want to know the cover artist of this great song, and this is a guy that you love, I think our entire audience loves, very, very recognizable voice, and how it relates to the side question, Dom. Earned a reputation as one of the best voices, one of the most recognizable voices of all time. Take a listen. Turn it down, though. I want to keep it going.
All right. 855-839-1210. Who's covering that? Belushi's greatest scene, I thought, was Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't think it just...
I was talking to a kid who's like 24, and maybe Henry can attest to this, but
yeah.
SNL's fallen so far out of cultural habit that like it's like, oh, yeah, my mom watches that, and that's really all it is anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I have no interest in watching it.
Do you know references to SNL?
Yeah, maybe some 2000s, 2010s clips, but like
because I had a friend, he was saying it's just so corny, he doesn't even care to like check out the history. He's just like, yeah, it's something my mom likes. It's like
I watched it last week. I thought politically they were pretty balanced, and Gaffigan was a good Walls.
He's got a lot to do to repair their reputation.
Oh yeah, yeah, but I didn't think politically they were bad last week. You know, but it's. The skits aren't that good. No. There's nothing
I like
amazing.
Weekend Update, still.
Yeah.
But with Jost and Che. Yeah.
I thought it was really funny with the whole hippo thing that they did this last week, but you have to like be in on the internet meme culture.
Yeah,
to
yeah
really
Mudang.
Get it,
right? Yeah. Mudang mocking Chapel Row.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, it's 855-839-1210. You jump in. You're going off to the Zlock, and more calls coming up on Talk Radio 1210.
It's Da Money Melody.
Show me the money.
Okay, today playing for a pair of tickets to the Zlock Performing Arts Center. Let's hear the clue.
She said there is no reason the truth
Now I'm going to look for the cover artist who today in 1976 performed with John Belushi on Saturday Night Live because John was not mocking him, but satirizing him for a while. Here covering A Whiter Shade of Pale, want the cover artist of this song.
Jim in Levittown. Jim, who's covering this song? Hi.
Joe Cocker.
All right. Nicely played. Yeah, he was easy to satirize. Rose saw him at upstate Pennsylvania when he was first just breaking out and still raves about it. The name of the college.
You were Joe, or you were Roe that has more of the Joe Cocker appreciation.
Yeah, Roe. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's distinct. Yeah, without a doubt.
Definitely earned the reputation as a distinct voice.
Oh.
Here's John Belushi from the SNL performing as Joe Cocker alongside Joe Cocker. Not enough time to get back to Joe Cocker, but it's pretty good, his impression. Take a listen.
Oh, you shook the beat. Myself a cry. She can't waste my time.
Watch it just really makes me yearn for those days.
That's Blues Brothers type of stuff. I never had Belushi on, but I've had Dan Aykroyd on twice. And he started doing the bit, you know, the craziness of things just go off. Brilliant also. But Belushi was the real, well, Chevy Chase in the beginning was too.
Yeah, he was
part of it. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's sad what they've done with it. They made it overly political, one-sided, but also just lost any kind of punch or you know, that they're relevant. Now, are they going to bring on? I'm not sure if they're going to bring on Harris or Trump. If Trump would go on at this point, he hosted at least once, if not twice. The one time they had relevance is when they brought Palin in and the whole thing associated with that. She did pretty well.
I feel like they lose a lot of their audience if they actually bring Trump on. It's like, oh, you're endorsing Trump. Oh,
yeah. I don't see Harris being able to pull this off. She'd just start cackling and then the bit would be gone. It's got to be if you're not like Elon Musk, I thought did a good job of the monologue. He was very good. He wasn't, you know, crazed as he usually is. Oh, yeah, but I mean, that's what he is. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So what are we going to get with Elon Musk in Butler on Saturday night? Oh, my God. Scott Prezer will be here. He'll be there in Butler. We wanted to give him a shout-out, though, because he helped, along with a couple of other people, to stop the nonsense that was going on with the state of Pennsylvania. By the way, if you ever see this guy on Fox, I follow him on Twitter and Washington Examiner. Really, really good reporter. Byron York puts up on Twitter today entirely different incidents, but the Doug Emhoff forcibly slapped ex-girlfriend in 2012 story appears to have a higher level of proof than the E. Jean Carroll Trump accusation. According to Daily Mail, women told two friends at the time. Friends confirm, told a third person in 2018, that person confirms too. Documents confirm Emhoff and the woman were in that place at the time. Together, that is a stronger case than Carroll's. In the Emhoff matter, the alleged incident was 12 years ago. Carroll made her accusation about Trump 25 years after the alleged incident, which she had a book to sell at that point. Have to assume statute of limitations is passed in the Emhoff matter. It had in the Trump-Carroll case, too. But New York law allowed it Trump to be sued, of course, under a special exception. On little evidence, the jury found Trump liable for sexual abuse, ordered him to pay $2 million, another $85 million or so for defamation. That's a nice breakdown of where we are with Emhoff. Now, you could argue the other difference is, look, Emhoff is not running for president. Trump was running and is running for president. Okay, I get that. But here's the thing. Emhoff and Walz are out there very publicly, and they're being said to be the new masculinity. So even though he's not running for president, he's a pivotal figure, arguably, in this whole thing. And the way this is being treated by the media, Byron York laid it out there. There's a lot more evidence of this to run down than there was in the Carroll case. But we know the double standard in this, so that really doesn't matter. Now, what would it matter if Emhoff did this and it highlights impregnating the nanny? Well, it doesn't necessarily cut toward Harris, but what it cuts toward is being forced to endure hearing the Scoofball Walls and Emhoff are what men should be, and it bounces back toward Trump. Toxic masculinity. All right? That's the significance. The broader significance is the media doesn't want to cover any of this stuff, and they won't. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Coming up, Scott Presler. And we wanted to get Scott back on. There's a couple of updates, but he called attention to the fact that the State Department, Al Schmidt, I wonder if Scott Presler asked Al Schmidt to come on, Henry, if he would.
Oh, man.
Because now Al Schmidt has turned down coming on after the election. He can't come on before. He can't come on the day of the election. He can't come on after the election.
Scott will have to be our ringer.
Exactly.
Got to bring him in.
Who is it that I know that can get him to come on this show? I'm trying to think. Dan and Henry are striking out. Do I have to go to DJ on this?
Yeah, you just need someone relentless. A lion.
No, that might backfire. Well, I might have to call Roe.
Scott's got the mane of a lion. So
Roe can write him and say, look, my husband's not that bad. Come on, Al. You know, we'll try that approach. Okay?
Al Schmidt, come on the show, please.
Who do I know
that
knows Al Schmidt?
You got a very fair interview here.
Yeah, we want to hear Al. We want to hear.
We should do some reverse psychology.
Yeah, stuff,
yeah, we don't want you anyway.
Yeah, stuff yeah, like, going, Al, nah, nah,
how
mind.
Does it work? Did Al Schmidt know about this? They were going to do maintenance during the Trump rally tomorrow night. Don't you think somebody there ought to run this past Al Schmidt and the others and say, yo, you got to be really careful here. All right, Scott Presler is next, and we'll talk with him about a couple of developments. He'll be in Butler tomorrow night. I don't know if Scott Presler has met Elon Musk or not. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Scott's not speaking tomorrow night. He's the first guy I would bring
Hold
up
on,
there.
Not, yeah, what?
Yeah, not that I know of. By the way, on Twitter,
position,
people saying that Troy Polamalu should be out for the hair commercials. It ought to be Scott Presler.
It should be.
Yeah, that would sell a lot more shampoo. I'll find out what shampoo he uses. Mine is Shampoor. It's an imported
shampoo.
That
sounds like something you get at like Dollar General.
No, no. This is a fancy salon in Chestnut Hill.
No.
Okay. Now's a great time to call and visit your nearest Captain Chuckies. Let them handle your meal planning. The fan favorite always remember Captain Chuckies is the Smith Island Crab Cake Jumbo Lump. And don't forget the mega colossal crab cakes. October, time to stock up. Check out the variety of homemade soups. The far away we kid about, I think, is still there. The Maryland crab is the one. I'll be getting it tomorrow over in Flavortown every week. I don't think I missed in the last 7 or 8 years. And it's a perfect time to check out all of Captain Chuckie's other offerings. Homemade sides, desserts. Get a few for that football viewing party or tailgate or the Phillies tomorrow. Several choices of breaded, non-breaded crab cakes. Literally a crab cake for everybody. Desserts, yeah, key lime pie, appetizers, all highest in quality ingredients. Watching the Phillies tomorrow, it starts at 4 o'clock. How about some golf shrimp? If you have people, that's always a huge hit, and it's always wild-caught, never farm-raised. Get the Dom Roll. Yep, I'm so proud to have that Dom Roll.
Farfalle.
Thank you very much. There's a location near you. I know that if you go to WeLoveCrabCakes.com, you'll see the nearest location, WeLoveCrabCakes.com. Headed to the Jersey Shore, Captain Chuckie's at the Shore.com.
Farfalle. Do not say farfalle, but rather farfalle.
Yeah, that fits Scott Presler. That's the theme music rolling down the highways. He joins us here in Philadelphia again on Talk Radio 1210. Well, Scott, welcome in. Wanted to have you back to congratulate you. This nonsense with Al Schmidt and this maintenance of the State Department website is now gone.
Thank you. Well, we are just racking up the W's here at earlyvoteaction.com. And I know some people, you know, may have thought it was conspiratorial to even point out that the maintenance was being done during the Trump rally that is going to bring nationwide attention, during the rally that Elon Musk is going to also be attended. But we brought so much attention to the issue that I do want to give credit and say thank you to the Pennsylvania Department of State for changing the time. And it went from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. to now 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. I'm still not 100% happy, but I will give credit where credit is due. And I promise you that them changing the site maintenance is going to bring more users to the website. And I hope more thousands of people register to vote tomorrow during President Trump's rally.
Absolutely. Scott, so I would
Can I just interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
You hear that, Mr. Schmidt? We bring a guest on. The first thing he does is compliment you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you may want to use your influence. Al Schmidt, who I know, even came to my Feast of the Seven Fishes. It was a comp, Dan, if you remember. Back when he was here in Philadelphia, Scott has told us he can't come on before the election. So we said, okay, day after. And they said, Mr. Schmidt will not be available then. So we're going to ask, when is he available? What do you think?
You know, I'm focused entirely on Tuesday, November 5th. The only thing that we demand is, look, Mr. Schmidt, the Luzerne County Board of Elections is backlogged by thousands of voter registrations. If you're listening to this right now, please, for the sake of our constitutional republic, or as y'all say, democracy, it is unfathomable that swing counties in Pennsylvania would have thousands of backlog voter registrations, knowing that the last day to register to vote is on October 21st and knowing that the last day to request a mail-in ballot is on the 29th. If you take seriously the ability of empowering people to register to vote and vote this November, then I encourage you to make it mandatory overtime that the Luzerne County Board of Elections should not be spending money on boulders for quote-unquote election and security, but they should be spending money on more staffers to process the outstanding thousands of backlog voter registrations and mail-in ballots, sir.
Yes, without a doubt. And Scott, when we first did a watch with you, we were looking at Bucks County when you flipped that red. Bucks went from 2% red, blue to Republicans at 0.5% now. But others had a more, even a bigger turnaround that you were involved in. For example, Beaver was plus 6 Democrat to Republican now, plus 2.5. Berks, 2.1 Dem to Republican, 2.5.
This is huge.
Fayette, 6.5 to Republican, 9.2.
Wow.
You know, we are making such strides across the Commonwealth. It's really exciting to see. And, you know, in the last year, we did flip Beaver, we did flip Bucks, we did flip Luzerne. But here's kind of the magic that's going on. We have a couple exciting events. On the 12th, we're doing a block party in Reading, Pennsylvania, in Berks County. We are engaging with our beautiful Puerto Rican and Dominican voters. At Early Vote Action, we have hired 2 bilingual Spanish and English speaking staff that are dedicated just to reaching out to this community. And so anybody in the Reading area, I look forward to seeing you on the 12th. I'm going to have more details at Scott Pressler on my X account. And on the 13th, I do believe this is breaking news that we are having a day of unity, a rally of unity at the Newtown Athletic Club in Bucks County. And I do believe that Tim Pool said he's going to come, and you're going to have the RFK Jr. Supporters. You're going to have Black Americans for Trump. You're going to have the Log Cabin Republicans. Like, literally, this is every force coming together, knowing that our country is on the line in Bucks County on the 13th.
Wait a minute. What time will that be? Do you know, Scott?
Let's follow up when I tell you guys the new voter registration data on Monday.
All right, we're texting Jim Worthington as we're talking here. So it's going to, who is it that is one? You're one of the headliners, but who else is going to be there?
I do believe Tim Pool is going to be there. Ellen Cox. We're going to have speakers from the RFK Jr. campaign. I hear that we're actually working on an even bigger headliner than myself. And this is going to be all forces coming together, MAGA plus MAHA, make America great and make America healthy again.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. All right.
Great stuff.
And Jim Worthington right in the center of that, too, along with you. Scott, I hope to get over there and interview some of these people. But congratulations on that. Thanks for telling us about that. We'll have more details, hopefully, next week. And I'm sure the president is going to say Scott Presler is in the house tonight at Butler. He's got him.
Well, regardless, we are there to support our president. He took a bullet for us, and we're going to have his back by getting every single person there at that rally registered to vote at their current address. And we're going to make sure that everybody is checking their voter registration status. Speaking of, we'll end on a final note that everybody listening right now to the Dom Giordano show, please check your voter registration status. Type into the internet, Pennsylvania, check voter status. Make sure you're an active voter registered at your current address. And please make a plan to vote this November or earlier.
Absolutely. And Scott, what's the best place to go for all things Scott Presler?
All things Scott Presler, go to my X account at Scott Presler, ScottPresler1, slide in my DMs, and you can also support our work at earlyvoteaction.com. That's earlyvoteaction.com.
Great stuff, Scott. Thank you. Thanks so much, as always, here.
Thank you, Dom.
All right. Dan, we thought we'd get him on. It was the right thing. He's the architect of this big thing with the maintenance and all that. And here he drops October 13th. Mark that one down. We'll get Jim Worthington on Monday to give us more details on that. RFK coming together with the Trump people. I don't know if RFK Jr. will be there, but I hope he'll make it over. That is good stuff. I think somebody said AI. I think Scott Presler's really AI created. This can't be a human.
He's a robot.
Engage in
like,
this
like,
stuff.
When does this guy sleep?
Yeah, it is stunning. And did you hear what he said? Now they have two bilingual people to be working with the Latino community.
That's great.
The Republican Party should just give this guy $100 million and let him win Pennsylvania. $10 million. Okay, lightning round is next. Let me take the Earl of Tacony here, though. He's got a couple things, and then we'll get to the lightning round. Hey, Earl, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Yeah, you mentioned the Naked Cowboy. He
yes.
was at January 6th. I did see him. I took a picture of him while he was walking around in the cold weather. But I'm sick and tired of everybody talking about January 6th. I have to wonder when Trump wins, not if, but when, will they reactivate Disrupt J20, where Hillary supporters went and burned Washington, D.C. because they lost the election? Everyone seems to have forgotten that. You know, the city burned, they burned limos, they broke windows, and they rioted because Trump won, yet everyone talks about January 6th.
Yeah, during the inauguration, we covered it from Chickie and Pete's, and we were having crab fries while watching that destruction. Yeah.
But what do I know? I'm just a working class guy. I'm going to be with Bruce Springsteen this weekend. We're going to fly in his private helicopter to Martha's Vineyard to hang out with Barack and Michelle Obama. And have some cheap fast food, some $500 steaks from the restaurant. I mean,
okay. All right, Earl, who is it that deserves their reputation?
I'm just going to have to nominate myself.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I at? 2290 day? Something like that. So, because Dan said that it proves that I'm committed, or I should be committed. I wasn't
exactly
quite sure
right.
you know, how, he,
yeah,
how he put that through.
Thank you, Earl. Dan, the race for car of the year this year is going to be more intense than the person of the year, even. It's taken on. Now it's the encounters are counting out there.
Have a Larry Krasner Christmas.
Oh, there's that
it's
too.
The best
yes.
time in the land. You can steal whatever you feel if it's under a grand. Have a Larry.
By the way,
Krasner
did you notice that the Larry Krasner of the West Coast, Gascon, is poised to get the Menendez brothers out.
Oh, really?
New
they
to Netflix, apparently,
Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they were poor. The father, the whole thing. The Menendez brothers. Does it ever end? I think it's going to happen. All right.
Just for those that are unaware, the person singing there is Earl.
Yes.
Joined by the Tacones. The Earl and the Tacones. The Christmas album available anywhere our podcast can be found. Search Earl and the Tacones.
We'll have a new one this year. They ought to, you know, the session to tape it should be at Mulligan's, I would think, though.
We've been trying to, man. I've been busy. He really wants to get in the studio.
Okay.
He's got like a bunch written up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lightning round is next.
Another Noel. Except a police will say, It seems someone just got stabbed on a platform today.
Earl, come on.
All right. 855-839-1210. Lightning round next to get a winner, and the winner of the week here, too, on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease a 2025 XC40 for only $435 per month for 36 months. See store for details. They always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. All right, let's go to, Let's go to Bill in Bucks County on Talk Radio. Oh, Drew in Upper Darby's got one. Hey, Drew, good afternoon. Who's yours today?
Hey, Dom, thanks a lot, man. Dom, real quick, I heard the talk yesterday, and some of these crazed union guys, I call union deranged syndrome, man. Well, it's crazy how they get. I had a buddy who owned a bar in the Bywood section of Upper Darby. It still had the ladies' entrance. And instead of buying an ice machine, he would have a block of ice delivered every morning because he thought he was saving jobs. It's crazy.
I hear you. I always like the ladies' entrance. That's what you got to have, yes. Without a doubt. All right, Drew.
Thanks, Tom.
Who deserves their reputation?
These guys definitely earn their reputation. The Broad Street Bullies. Thank you.
That's a pretty good one. Joe Watson. I've never had a handshake quite like that, guys. My God. Bill in Bucks County. Bill, who earned their reputation?
Well, I think the guy that was the mayor of Carmel City, California, played in Sudden Impact, and his famous phrase was, go ahead, make my day, Clint Eastwood.
That's a very good one.
I don't know if there's more tough guy that deserves it than Clint Eastwood.
Oh, you don't think there is?
No, I'm saying I think he deserves a reputation of that kind of tough, gruff guy. I don't know if there's someone that plays it better.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, wow, we had an impression over
Gran Torino. Alan in Hamilton. Who's yours, Alan?
Donkey's Place, best cheesesteak in Delaware Valley, 3 generations old, according to the Lucas family.
I don't know.
I've heard of that place.
It's kind of weird, though. Yeah. It's like on a Kaiser roll. It's different than a normal cheesesteak.
Is it? Yeah. I've heard of that, though.
It's almost like a breakfast sandwich.
It's legendary, and it was in a sitcom here, too. Yeah, local. Bruce in the Northeast. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Dom. You know, when you think of these guys, you can't help but think of their badass reputation, and that would be the Hell's Angels.
It would seem that they've earned that. Yeah, they should have. I like this one. I don't know if it's big enough to be the winner, but it's true. Chris in Burlington, who's yours?
Good afternoon. Real quick, I want to say yesterday Joe from Columbus made a point to say he wasn't padding his numbers. I am actually padding my numbers today because this is my second call ever.
Keep it up, Chris.
My submission is A-Rod. And I'll tell you why. I mean, there's a five-tool player, a natural-born five-tool player that basically ruined his legacy. Not only once when he was caught, he ruined it the second time. He apologized to his team and the world, and then he got involved again in steroids. So I just think he's forever going to be known as a cheater, no matter how good we say of what a baseball player he was.
Thank you, Alex. That is a very good one. All right, Henry, who do you like today? A couple of contenders.
Yeah, I thought Gary in Newtown left the show with the great one, right. The DMV. And I also like Drew and Upper Darby's answer, the Broad Street Bullies, because that still rings out today. Everyone knows who that is.
Yeah, I like Drew's, too. What do you say, Dan?
I like the DMV a lot. I was like Joe Vexton's positive reputation for Italians, where I thought he was going
that's
negative.
That's a trick, yeah.
Where are you going,
Dan? I go with Broad Street Boys.
All right, join up for Darby.
Put that into the hat, and let's get a winner.
All right, let me get my music going, Dom. Here you go. Monday. We asked for things associated with Florida. Bruce in the Northeast called in. Snowbirds, retirees. Tuesday, iconic hair. Robert in Ben Salem said Dolly Parton's very, very big hair. Wednesday, acquired tastes. Bruce in the Northeast said Joe of Exton. Do you think he's acquired taste? Now I think about it. Thursday, spokespeople, Marlboro Man, Tom and Marlton, and you just heard it now, Drew and Upper Darby with someone who's earned their reputation, the Broad Street Bullies. Dom, throw it all into the hat. I'm going to pull it out here. Four. 4, Thursday, Tom Marlton, Marlboro Man, takes the cake. Congratulations, Tom. You get a copy of Letters to Trump, the great book by Donald Trump himself.
Welcome back, Tom, too. Glad to see that. So the big event this weekend is going to be Butler, PA. We have full coverage of that on Monday, among other things. And again, great week here. The countdown continues. Follow me on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. I like Henry's over and under. He says under 4,000 Mets fans will be there tomorrow.
Keep them out.
I'm saying it might approach 8,000 or so. Will they be drowned out? Will any of them be allowed to sit in what are the really good seats? I hope not. I don't want to see them behind home plate.
No.
No, they won't do that. They're from New York anyhow. Dan, any weekend observation?
No, got to take the car in for an oil change tomorrow. That's always fun.
Thank you very much for that. All right. I've taken Rose.
Hopefully you get back in time for 4 for the game, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a 1 o'clock appointment. Hopefully they do it quickly. You got to think the mechanics are going to try to get out of there, too.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good thing. All right. Richie always next to take you home here. It's been a great week. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all the great calls. And let's see how many encounters these producers have to deal with here. That race is on. All that on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.